Hey, everybody. It's Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries in Clearwater, Florida. We are glad you are joining us today. And we always have a great time on this show every Sunday afternoon that comes on 3 o'clock live Tampa time. We also know that we're on the web live stream, which is kind of cool. www.tantalk1340.com. If you want to just move over to your internet, you certainly can. And I'm Pastor Marcia McAllister in the studio live with Nan, who's alive today.
I'm alive.
You're alive. You're looking good, Nan Watson. And today, for the first time, look who's here, Cindy Brown.
Hi, Cindy.
Hello.
Yes,
hi.
We're glad to have Cindy with us. And Betty will be joining us in a little while. And so we're going to have quite a crew today and a whole lot of fun. And this is going to be a great show. We have been in a series forever and ever, right? Frontline Freedom Fighters is what we've been talking about. Nan, how long has that been going on? A few months, couple.
A few months.
Yeah,
I had to
months.
Miss a little time there for my knee surgery. I wasn't
right.
church, so I as far
right.
as how long we've been going, I don't know.
Really I'd say a couple months at least.
Okay,
yeah,
months.
Yeah. And today is a very important day because we're going to really, really talk about a key to victory when you're on the front line, like so many of us are spiritually. Mm-hmm. There are keys to victory. There are things that you don't want to do. And we're going to talk about some of those and things that drag you down and keep you from victory. And today we're going to talk about a huge ingredient to our victory. And I'm excited about this show. And it's a gorgeous day in Florida. And it is a hot day, Cindy. I mean, this is a hot day going on out there.
Yes, too hot.
Too hot, right. But that's all right. We're just glad it's not snowing and icing and raining. And
I'll take the heat.
Take the heat?
I'll take the heat.
Okay.
Yeah.
No hurricane.
Yeah, no hurricane.
Good things.
There you go. Those are good things. And, you know, we had such a great time in our service today.
Yes. Quite.
Woo!
Wonderful.
Was God moving or what?
Very much there. Very present in everyone.
Yes. Yes, he was. He was moving. And I tell you, just the joy of being together as a family. I don't know about you, Cindy, but that blesses me every time we can get together. Sunday, Wednesday night, here on the show. Another opportunity every week just to share with our friends and people who listen. It's great, isn't it?
Yes, it's nice to have an extended family that just feels and connects in the same way in Jesus and brings God into our midst and just helps us get closer and closer to him, and we can share that fellowship. It's just incredible.
It is, isn't it? And, mm-hmm. you know, not everybody has that when they go to church. In fact, I've been talking to this week with some people, and we were saying it's like church attendance, except for the mega churches, is changing. People are, you know, finding, I got to do this. I got to do that. Our lives are so busy. Nan, talk to me about that.
Well, sometimes, I hate to say this. I mean, in my opinion, sometimes you almost have to carve out the time because our lives are so busy, because we have so much responsibilities. You know, we work full-time jobs. We have families.
Sure.
We have
yeah.
spouses.
Right.
You know, we have family. Besides
right.
our extended family, many of us have regular biological family around.
Sure.
The families that we've grown up with.
Kids, grandkids,
you know,
great-grandkids.
Yeah.
In my,
there you
my
go.
Case. Yeah.
You know, and it's many times, it's a challenge sometimes to get there. But once you get there, the reward is so great because the presence of the Lord is just so almighty there.
It
you
is,
know, I mean, this
it?
Morning we just had a wonderful, wonderful service.
Wild time, huh? Complete with trumpet. Wow.
Mm-hmm. That was awesome.
It was, wasn't it, Cindy? I mean, and the joy, like you said, Nan, of being in the house of the Lord together. And you begin to realize that this family of God, Cindy, is so important in our daily lives, isn't it?
Oh, most definitely. It's a time you can worship and spend time together, and on the same, everybody's on the same page. And, you know, it is hard. It is hard when you work a full-time job or
right.
even two part-time jobs or a part-time job, and you've got family trying to
yes.
think about. It's like, okay, you're only giving God technically an hour and a half, 2 hours of your time during the week.
Right.
You know,
it's
he gives
much.
Us so much more.
Oh, good point.
So it's nice to say, you know what? I've got to give back to God because
right.
a lot of times during the week we're so busy we forget to say thank you.
Exactly.
And, you know, just that 2 hours of week.
Right.
Include Wednesday nights and Bibles and radio. 6 hours a week.
Right. But still, that's nothing,
that's
really,
nothing
isn't
compared
it?
To God's time.
And it's so interesting that the devil works overtime to stop us from doing that, right?
Oh,
you had a health
yes.
crisis just a couple weeks ago, 3 or 4 weeks ago, I guess, now.
Yeah. God's talk of 2x4 getting my attention.
He did, yeah.
But, you know,
right in the service, you had a health crisis.
Well,
and we've had other people that have had problems that happened in church.
Yeah, and it's awful when you think about the time that, you know, the devil tries to keep you away from church. And, you know, yeah, we wake up on Sunday morning. Sometimes we're tired. We've had a rough week. We've had a rough day, a rough night. And how much more can we be fed when we get to the church?
Right.
You know, your traffic and everything. It's just like, Get to church.
Exactly. And the scripture says in Hebrews, don't forsake the gathering of yourselves together. Mm-hmm. Betty, are you on the air, my friend?
Yes, I is here.
Hi, Betty. How are you?
Well, I'm fine. It's you know what you're just talking about, being busy?
Yeah.
It's been a busy week and a weekend for us here up here in Indiana.
On the Renegade Ranch. She has a ranch up there. No kidding, guys. This woman's got a ranch and horses and all kinds of things up there, don't you?
Yeah, the only thing we don't have is llamas.
I was going to say llamas, but I don't remember ever seeing any. Yeah.
No, we don't have those yet, but... I could see some in my future.
Can you? Uh-huh. And 100 dogs and cats and you name it, they've got not really. That's a slight exaggeration. Last thing time I think you said there were 80-something, right? No, teasing. No,
yeah,
not quite
you know
that
many. I would be the crazy cat lady if I had that many cats.
Yes, you would be. But, you know, Betty, we're talking about how it's so important to come into the house of the Lord and spend quality time with him. Don't you agree?
Oh, amen. And I have to admit something to all of you.
Uh-oh.
That I have not been, I've been forsaking myself from assembling.
Okay.
But it's because I'm so busy.
I hear you. Okay, well, that's what we're just talking about.
But I take time out of my day to pray.
Right.
I take time out to...
Sure.
If I can't read the word, I listen to the word, you know, on my iPad or on a CD or whatever. But I still, God is my number one priority
Amen.
In my life. And when I forsake him, my life has a tendency to take a slight tumble down, kind of like a
mm-hmm.
yeah. It's hard to describe, but, you know, you become... so complacent, you become lethargic, you don't want to get out, you don't want to do this. But as long as you spend time in the Word and you're praying and you're still seeking God and putting God first, you know, all these things shall be added unto you. And it's just, it's an amazing thing having God first in your life.
Amen. We're going to talk more about that. And we're so glad you've joined us, my Indiana friend. She's a part of Beacon, and so is Megan, her daughter. They're regularly on the air, part of our radio team. And we're going to start with this song, Betty. I know it's one you love. Whom Shall I Fear by Chris Tomlin.
Darkness fills the night, it cannot hide the light. Whom shall I fear? You crush the enemy underneath my feet. You are my sword and shield, though troubles linger still. Whom shall
that song straight out of the scripture. Nothing formed against us shall stand. I love that. That says it in Isaiah 54:17. No weapon formed against you can prosper. Every tongue that accuses you in judgment, you will show to be in the wrong. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their vindication is from me, saith God. Let's go to Luke chapter 5, starting down about verse 16. And we are talking about Jesus so much in this Frontline Freedom series, and the what he really did as he walked this earth. And don't forget, he was the exact representation, the mirror image of the Father. The Father sent him to this earth so that we would understand the nature and the character of Almighty God. And I love this. But it's so interesting to me in Luke 5:16, that as often as possible, Jesus withdrew to out-of-the-way places for prayer. How important is that? We just talked about that at the beginning of this show, didn't we, Cindy? I mean, that need to really spend time. What happens when we don't do that?
Oh, you just, I don't feel complete. I don't have energy.
Right.
Kind of what she's saying before is like, got to get that energy, got to get that feeling of completeness.
Yes.
And, you know, when you don't have it, it's like you've kind of lost in land a little bit. You don't know what to do.
You don't know what to do. You got to have time for prayer. Betty,
gotta have it.
Don't you love the fact that Jesus himself needed time with the Father? Are you there? Hang on. There she is.
Can you hear me?
Now we can.
Okay. I think one of the key things here is that communication between the Father and the Son,
mm-hmm.
that we have that same opportunity to communicate to the Father and the Son.
Right.
And it's amazing to me that someone like Jesus was the perfect lamb.
Right.
And just reading the scriptures when he was praying gives me so much more ability that I know that I can talk to the Son.
Yes.
And know that he hears me.
Right.
Because, you know, Jesus sits at the right hand of God.
Right.
So you know that there's that, the best communication besides telephone and email and text and prayer.
It is. It absolutely is. And we talked last Sunday about Jesus saying, ask and keep on asking, knock and keep on knocking, you know, seek, keep on seeking. And it's something that we got to continue to do. As that song was playing, Nan was writing a poem. Betty, you know how she writes these poems from time to time. Yep, she's got one right here, hot off the poem press.
Hot off the poem press, Betty. Say that again, Betty. How do I say it?
Poem.
Thank you. P-O-Y-M.
Hey, you know what? I have been trying to pronounce that ever since last year when I left Florida.
Uh-huh.
And it's like poems.
You can't say poem anymore?
No, it's poem. It's poem.
It's poem.
Poem.
It is poem. Yeah, now
poems
it is.
By Nan.
Yeah, poems by Nan. I love it. Go, Nan. Let's read a new poem.
Okay, the new poem is, I am always with you, child, I am always there. Look to me, precious one, open your mouth in prayer.
Ooh.
Praise my name from your heart. I inhabit the praise you sing. Even if you feel so down, to me, praises often bring. The miracle that you need is on the other side of your worship. So much you will learn. It is such a wonderful trip.
Woo!
You know, and
go ahead.
Well, I know for me, as is with everybody, it's not always easy to worship. I mean, it really is not always easy to worship.
When
things, you know, are not going the way they should go.
Right.
Like, things are happening.
Maybe
things
you're down, you're discouraged, you're depressed.
Exactly.
Right.
You know, those.
You don't feel like praising God when things aren't going
good,
right?
You really
don't.
But the reward is so rich when you do. You have to press past those feelings.
Yes.
And praise him. And like he says in the scripture, he inhabits the praise of his people.
Right.
And just, I mean, press on. And some people might say, yeah, it's very, very, very difficult to do. Just do the best you can do.
Right.
You know, I mean, and it doesn't matter what stature you meet, you become in the church, or how long you've been serving God. Things are still going to come against you. I mean,
absolutely.
I'd like to share, I mean, even this morning, I woke up very early with my new dog, who likes to get up and go outside and potty. And I like for him to do that, too.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
It's a good thing to do.
Jackson, and Jackson. He's a little what?
Basset hound.
Basset hound with the great big ears and little tiny legs.
Yes. But, you know, it was like this morning, I was just literally hit with depression. Like, just, I mean, out of the clear blue, it was just this depression.
Well, Sunday, of course.
It was Sunday. And I'm laying there
the
going,
devil fights us
I don't feel like
Sunday.
Doing this. I don't feel like doing that. And it was like, God spoke to me and said, this is spiritual.
Right.
You have to fight through this. This is spiritual.
Yes.
And I'm pulling up, you know, I do a lot, you know, for personal reasons, not personal, but when my personal recorder, I tape our sermons at church, I tape our music service.
Sure.
So I went back to music service from last week. I was just rewinding back and got one, and it was talking about the blood of the Lamb.
Oh, yeah.
Remember that one? We were singing a lot of blood songs about the Jesus blood
did.
And how it covers everything.
Yes.
And I just laid there and listened to the music. And I said,
wow.
I'm going to church.
Right.
Nothing's going to keep me from going to church this morning.
Whoa.
And we're going to battle through this depression. And, you know, I said, Satan, this is an attack from you. God spoke to me and said, this is an attack.
Wow.
Spiritual attack. Nothing else. Just spiritual attack.
Okay.
So go forward. Push through.
Whoa.
I'm sharing that, not to say, oh, look what happened, but kind of to say, oh, look what happened. That, you know, I mean, I go to church every service just about, but he tried to keep me out of Satan, tried to keep me out of service this morning for a reason.
Okay, very good. Betty, talk to us about this before we get to Cindy. Talk to us.
Well, it's awesome to hear that Nan's fighting.
Amen, girl. Amen.
It really is, because a lot of people will retreat.
Yes.
And they'll pull the covers back over their head and say, I'm not going to go. Okay, I'll just lay here. Okay, that's what Satan wants us
absolutely.
To do. He wants us to become complacent, and he wants us to sit back. And the astonishing thing that occurred to me many years ago is that when I'm serving God and I'm on the front line, and I'm in my prayer closet, or I'm outside praising God with music or whatever, is that's when Satan does not want us doing what we're doing.
That's right.
What we love doing is praising God and praying.
Yeah.
And that's when he comes at it the hardest.
Right.
So, Nan, praise God that you had your ears on.
Yes.
And that you were able to discern the difference between Satan's temptation and God's leading.
Yes,
you get up, Nan, and go to church. Now, that to me, that is awesome.
Well, thank you, Ben.
All right, Cindy.
Well, let me put in real quick before Cindy's
go ahead.
There's been a lot of times, not a lot of times, but there's been times in the past, way long past, that I would have just pulled up the covers.
Sure.
You know,
sure.
And it's like, if there's people listening and they might say, well, you know, I really wanted to go to church whenever, and I didn't feel like it, and I just pulled up the covers. And so I wouldn't want to see them beat themselves up because of that.
Sure.
Because we all have done that. But as you continue to walk with the Lord and grow closer to the Lord, it's easier sometimes for you to fight that than it is when you're just come to the Lord. So I don't want people to feel bad about that. You know,
good point.
If you've done that. Mm-hmm.
Go ahead. Yeah, go ahead, Cindy.
It's definitely a challenge sometimes, because it's always easier to find excuses or reasons why to stay at home or make the other plans. Or someone said, let's get together and go do this. Well, it's during church time. Well, that's okay. You know, it's easier to say, I'm going to not go. And sometimes the challenge is to say, you know what? I need to be there.
Amen.
There's a reason where I need to be in church, worshiping God with my church family. And something I wanted to touch with what Betty said about prayer. You know, I have a good friend that's been trying to text me for 2 months. It never goes through. With prayers for God, they always go through. They will always get to him.
Yes.
And they will always reach him. And you don't have to be a Bible scholar. You don't have to be going to church every single day of your life to understand how to pray. You know, it's just a simple conversation. And sometimes those are the best conversations when he speaks to you about
Amen. Amen. Well, with all this said, this leads us right into this little story in Luke 5, because we find some people who are actually really concerned about their friend. And see, this is what happens. We talked earlier in the show about you form friendships and you form you know, just lasting covenant relationships with people, you know, as you learn to worship with them. Well, and Betty and I have been friends, what, how many years now, girl? I don't know. 1988? I don't know.
I'd say about 27 years.
Okay, there you go. All right, so we got some people here who had this friend, and he was a paraplegic. He was perfectly paralyzed, or very, I don't know if you can be perfectly paralyzed, but he was very, very paralyzed. He was a paraplegic. And Jesus is healing. He's praying. He's teaching in the synagogue. Well, actually, he was in somebody's house, it looks like, in the village. And it says here in verse 17 of Luke 5 that the healing power of God was on him. So some men arrived carrying this paraplegic, their friend, on a stretcher. They were looking for a way to get into the house, but it was packed. There was no room, and nobody would even move to the side to let them carry the guy in, you know? So they just turned around and went home and said, oh, well, we tried. No, Cindy, no?
Nope. Found other ways.
They found other ways. Oh, Betty, that'll preach, right? What did they do? They went to an extreme here. They went to the roof of the house. And then the roof was like we have today, tile roofs in more expensive homes. And they began to take, they looked different, but they began to take some of those tiles out. And they managed to get a great big hole in the roof. I mean, this to me is an extreme major.
They did a Mission Impossible.
They did what to most of us, we would just go, oh, okay, it's crowded, I'm going home.
Yep.
You know? And here they go and they let their friend down right in front of Jesus. And, you know, talking about intercession, Betty, what better way to do than to pray somebody right down into the very presence of Almighty God, right?
Oh, yes. And I said they can have, well, I call it standing in the gap.
Mm-hmm.
There can be a gap. There can be a wall. There can be years of buildup that you don't think anything can get through.
Right.
But just like those men that lowered that paraplegic down into the, you know, through the roof, is their strong faith.
Yes.
And their belief that if they could just have Jesus even look at him or touch him, that he would be healed. But that's the faith
right.
that it takes to
yes.
get through those barriers.
And I think so often we know that, let's say, a family member, a coworker, somebody close to you needs Jesus in their lives, but we don't do anything to make that happen. Sometimes we don't even pray for them. We just go, oh, they're a lost cause, and go on. You know what I mean, Nan?
Yes. And if we really look at it, before we came to Jesus, we were a lost cause.
Right.
You know?
Right.
I was a lost cause.
Yeah.
You know? I was raised in church, but I was a lost
cause. You were raised in church, so was Cindy, so was I. Betty was not. And Betty, there were people praying for you that caused you to get saved back in 85?
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah?
Yes, ma'am, a very wonderful woman that was actually my daughter Megan's caregiver. She was... name was Mary. We'll use her last name. But she prayed, and she told me she was praying for me.
How'd that make you feel? Did that make you mad?
No, not at all, because at that time there was some storms that our family was facing at that time.
Okay.
And so it was difficult, but one day she just mentioned, she said, you need to come to church. And she said that the presence of Almighty God is there. The Holy Spirit is there. You know, Holy Spirit, what's that? You know, I knew Jesus.
Yeah.
And I knew that there was, you know, God the Father, Jesus the Son, but I didn't know anything about the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
She said, and it kind of scared me at first. It's like, well,
I think it does.
What the church is like. But when you got in and you felt the presence of Almighty God, which at that time I just thought it was, you know, something that they put in the atmosphere.
Something they put in the atmosphere?
Something they put in the atmosphere, you know.
Like Febreze?
A Febreze or like an oil, you know.
Oh,
to make
okay.
You think that you're...
Okay.
Because I've heard about these Pentecostal people, these full gospel people.
Uh-huh. You're one of them. Uh-huh.
Yeah, I is.
I know.
And I'm proud of it.
All right.
I'm not ashamed of the gospel.
Amen.
But it came down to the point where it was total submission at that point, because I felt a tugging in my spirit.
Ooh.
At that time, I didn't know what it was, but I knew my heart was hurting. I knew that I needed something else. I didn't drink, I didn't smoke, I didn't do drugs, but I needed something was missing in my life.
Right.
And
Amen.
It was Jesus. And just because that one lady just made one invitation.
Wow.
Why don't you come to church? And, you know, she explained, you know, about the music, you know, their praise and worship was, you know, they clap, they dance, they raise their hands, and it's like, whoa. And she said, yeah, we've been accused of being pew jumpers and, she, you know, swinging on chandeliers. But she says, that's all. That's fake.
Yeah.
But walking in and feeling the presence of Almighty God.
Yes.
In that sanctuary was enough to make this girl say, you know, I need that. I need that. And all I had to say was the name of Jesus.
Yeah.
There.
Wow. You know, that is such a great story. And I think this story about the paraplegic really goes along with this, because these four, I assume there's four guys carrying a stretcher with a man. Think how heavy that would be. They knew that this guy had a need. You know, and so they were willing to go out of their way and be inconvenienced. Where's my bell? Inconvenienced. I don't know. Okay, it's here. We're going to find it, because that we need a bell ring on that particular word. But these guys were willing to be inconvenienced to help their. Thank you, Nan. To help their friend. Oh, that came from Cedric. Okay. All right. Bell, we got a bell going on in there, too. Praise God. And they were willing, Cindy, to go out on a limb and do something drastic because they cared about their friend.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Isn't that what it's all
about?
They're
willing to take the extra step and not accept the no that was being presented to them, or the not rejection, but the closing of the door, basically.
The closing of the door.
And
yeah,
say,
oh,
you know,
no, we're too crowded.
We
can't get anybody
can't
in.
Do it. And that's so easy to say, well, I'm done, but they weren't going to do it.
No.
And they knew how important it was, just like it was important for people to be reached out to.
Yes.
And to say, you know, come to church.
Yes.
Come worship. You know, I understand, Betty, how you feel about the Pentecostal, about the whole worshiping. Is this is a new experience for me, worshiping at the Beacon of Hope, because I was raised Presbyterian. Nothing wrong with Presbyterian, but they're kind of quiet.
They're quiet?
They're quiet.
Yeah, I know they are.
And so, but when I came into this church.
Proper. They're proper.
Yeah. I sat on the front row, and there was nobody behind me for 20 rows. but when I walked in, I just felt something different. And I'd always wanted something different.
Right.
And was I uncomfortable? Yes, but I liked the uncomfortable.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like, you know, reach out to people and don't let this, you know, people taking the time to say, listen, I care about you. I want you to come to church. This may not be something you're used to, but how about a church? Let's, you know, I'll go to a church with you. Anything to help bring them to God.
Good point. And, you know, thinking about these guys, okay, they go to an extreme. That I'm sure there was some kind of a makeshift ladder that caused them to get to the roof, okay? But, you know, it couldn't have been easy to carry on a stretcher a man who is totally paralyzed that can't help in any way with its dead weight. Mm-hmm. I know lifting my mom years ago, that's dead weight, you know, when somebody can't help in any way. You know, arms, legs, or anything. And here they somehow got this guy. Look, you talk about perseverance, Nan. Now, these are four guys that I really, really respect because they cared enough. And Betty, your friend Mary cared enough. They cared enough about their buddy to say, you know what? We're going to Jesus with you, buddy. We are taking you to Jesus, and this is going to be your day. They didn't get up on that roof and remove the tile, which had to be hard enough. Think about that. And then start the process of lowering him down, thinking, I don't think this is going to work. I don't know why we're doing this. I mean, there had to be, if those thoughts were coming to their minds, like the devil puts those kinds of thoughts, doubt in our minds, the devil does it all the time, there had to be enough faith there that they knew something was going to happen if they did this, don't you think?
Yes, well, I made the note here that, and we say desperate means calls for desperate measures.
Good point.
And also, sometimes we have to do something that's like unconventional.
Yes.
You know, Jesus did multiple types of healings.
Right.
Besides this one in the Bible, and he did different types of things were unconventional at the but yet he healed in the ways that he wanted to heal. Yeah, I know, like, for also, sometimes, I mean, oftentimes to help people, we have to go out of our way.
We have to go out of our way.
You know, and that's one thing that the Lord's been dealing with me about, some stuff that he's wanting me to do. Having to go out of my way a little bit, having to put forth a little bit extra effort.
Yeah.
If these four guys wouldn't have gone out of their way and wouldn't have put forth effort, the man wouldn't have been healed.
No.
But they moved forward in what they felt in their heart. Like you said, that they knew that if they got him to Jesus, that he would be able to be healed.
And God honored their faith. Faith is acting. I have a shirt like this, you know. I wore it the other day,
Wednesday night.
Faith is acting like God told you the truth. Okay? So if you know in your heart that God said, let's say to these four guys, you know, get your friend in there to find Jesus. And they're all going, do you feel that? Yeah, I feel that. You feel that? Yeah. Man, it's going to be heavy carrying him all these miles before we get to where Jesus is. And what if we don't find him? Well, you know what? I'm feeling we need to take him there. And well, I am too. Well, I am too. Well, then let's take him. Let's go. They walked. They didn't have an ambulance that pulled him up to the door. I mean, Betty, talk about the action. I mean, in dissecting this story, think about the role of these four people. We don't normally talk about that much. I want to talk about that.
Well, I think that if he was a paraplegic and he was paralyzed, that if he didn't know Jesus, he was probably fighting with all four of those guys. I don't want to leave my home. I want to stay here.
Yeah.
I've heard about this Jesus, but I don't know. And I could hear the four guys going, okay, let's pick up his bedroll and let's take him, whether he wants to go or not, because they cared enough, they loved him enough.
There you go, right there. And
we know somebody that is...
Woo! Praise God.
...is willing to pray for you, lay hands on you. And you know, buddy, I mean, I can hear him talking. Buddy, you know, I suppose they probably talked in Hebrew, but buddy, I know someone that can heal you. I know someone that can make you walk again.
Amen.
Make you whole again, because one of those four guys may have already encountered Jesus.
May have. And probably
they
had.
Knew, and they heard what what he's done, and they've maybe seen what he's done. And but I think it took four of them, because, you know, where two or three are gathered in his name, there he is in the midst of them.
There we go.
And, you know, when I was down in the Sunshine State a couple of months ago, a month ago, I saw how those tile roofs are made.
Right.
Because a few people have them in your subdivision.
Right.
And for those guys to be able to get up on a roof where Jesus was had to be, maybe it took them, they made a human ladder to get
be
able to get the strongest guy to get the tiles off of the roof.
Right.
And then to be able to hoist him, and he may not have weighed much if he was a paraplegic back then. There was so much determination in those four people.
Yes.
They had to be a team to be able to get him up on that roof and then lower him down without dropping him or hurting him anymore, maybe cut on the tiles or whatever. But it took sheer determination and faith from all four of those men to get him down there to see the Lord Jesus Christ.
Well, I agree with you, and I love what Jesus says when they do get him down there. If you all have your Bibles, look about verse 19 or 20. When they did remove the roof and the tiles and let him down in the middle of everyone right in front of Jesus, Jesus, it says in the Message Bible, was impressed by their bold belief. Okay? right there, we know that this made a big impression on Jesus. He didn't ignore the fact that here comes a stretcher down through the ceiling and lands right in front of him. Instead, it says Jesus was impressed by their bold belief. Guys, when we step out and pray and intercede for people around us who need a touch from God, God's going, "You go, girl. You know, this is cool." You know, Cindy, what I'm saying? God loves it when we show bold belief. You know?
Yes, because that's, you know, attesting to him that we do have the faith.
Right.
And we're able to step out in faith.
Right.
And, you know, as many roadblocks, whether it be a roof, a door, anything.
Right.
To say, you know, "I'm going to fight it. I'm going to do what you have called me to do."
Right.
And, you know, get it done.
Well, we were talking earlier today about the fact that so many people don't feel the need to come to church and be a part of a body of believers, and that the devil launches every possible attack with complacency, with depression, with sickness, with whatever. Do you have something there, Nan?
Yes.
Read it, because I really feel like this is very important for somebody out there. She's been writing like crazy over here.
God just gave me another poem while y'all were talking. Do you love them enough? Will you lead them to me? They are in many chains, and of them I desire them to be free. Will you go the extra mile? Will you move to help them? You can point them to me, that upon me they can depend. Do you have the faith necessary, believing that they'll turn to me? Go for it, my wonderful child. Of their binds they can be set free.
Praise God. And guys, that stuff's not, we're watching her. Cindy and I are sitting right here. Betty would be if she was right here with us, but we're watching this happen. And Betty, you've been a part of these poem events, haven't you? Where the Holy Spirit just moves as we're talking and speaks. It's just a way of communicating what God is feeling about our topic here today. And basically, God is saying, come on, people, care enough for each other. Betty, talk to me about that. We need to care enough for each other that we pray for each other. Ooh.
Well, and that's where the heart comes in, is that our heart is where Jesus, at least that's where he ministers to me, is through my heart.
Sure.
And then I listen with my ears, and then I can see with my eyes.
Okay.
Is that even the people that have hurt us, even the people who have belittled us, even the people who have made us feel less than a human being, is that we should pray for them, because it might change them. I'm going to change my vocabulary. It will change them.
Amen, it will. Yeah.
And we have to step outside of our comfort zone, and we have to step outside of our fear zone.
Right.
To be able to say, hey, Mary or Julie, I got someone who wants to meet you.
Yeah.
And I've never been one to push myself onto people. I've just let God work through me to minister to people. And even you may encounter a stranger, like we did several months ago at TSC, or you may encounter someone behind you at Walmart, and they see something different about you.
Yes.
And they feel it.
Right.
I mean, sometimes you can walk up, you can see somebody standing in line anywhere, even at a bank, and they turn around and look at you, and it's like, whoa, you know. And we encountered this at a bank a couple days ago. A lady was standing there, and she looked at me, and she goes, "I like your shirt." She goes, "Because I believe in him, too." And
oh.
I had on my Jesus shirt from Beacon of Hope.
Uh-huh.
And so you never know.
Right.
Who you're going to encounter.
Ooh.
That Jesus wants you to minister to. And those poems have ministered to me more than I can say, because Nan needs to put those in a binder and sell them. As, you know, as
she's working on that. She's working
inspirational,
on that.
Inspirational purposes, because Jesus works in so many ways.
Amen.
So many ways. And we just have to be in tune to what he wants us to do, Pastor.
Amen. And know that the healing is beginning in people that you're encountering. Let's go to this song by Matthew West. The healing has begun.
if there is a place called forgiveness, you don't belong. Oh, but freedom can never be found behind those walls. So just let them fall. Just let them fall. Healing has begun. Oh, the healing has begun. How long has it been since you felt anything but shame? Child, lift up your eyes, 'cause mercy remembers your name. Tears you've been holding back, let them fall like rain. 'Cause today's the day. Yeah, today's the day. Oh, the healing has begun. Oh, the healing has begun.
Praise God. I love that. The healing began for that paraplegic when his friends decided they loved him enough to do something about his condition as they began to take him to Jesus, Nan.
Well, to go along with that, I just feel really heavy in my spirit, especially when that song was playing about the healing has begun. You know, there might be some people listening who don't have friends around them.
Right.
Who don't have people around them to bring them to Jesus, to point them. There might be people who have been in church who, for whatever reasons, have had to leave or have chosen to leave. And I just encourage them, if they don't have friends around them, luckily this man did, but if they don't, just go back.
Yeah.
Go, you look back to God.
Right.
Go back to church. Find a church. Find a fellowship where you are comfortable.
Right.
And I mean, I really just feel like there's some people out there who are paralyzed spiritually.
Amen.
They're paralyzed spiritually. They don't have anyone around them.
Yes.
We would encourage them as a radio team to say, we're here. You're here.
Right.
We can give out your email if they
Pastor at BOHMGlobal.com. Anytime, day or night. Pastor at BOHMGlobal.com.
And I would like to encourage them. Ma'am?
I feel the same way. I just text someone that doesn't have, I don't know if she has anyone or not. And I told her that to turn on the radio station and to listen to the song by Matthew West, because it helped me many, many months ago to listen to that song, because the healing sets you free.
Yes.
of letting the Lord work in you and through you.
Yeah.
And I had the same pulling on my heart. I don't know whether this person will text me back or not, but she once was very, is a praying woman. And I think you guys know who it is. And I put it off and put it off and put it off because I didn't want to step in between and hurt step on anybody's toes. But it's time to come home.
Praise God. And you see, Betty, this is what it's all about. When we care enough and love enough that if God tells us to do something specific, obviously you felt led to text this person. And these guys felt led to take this guy to Jesus. Cindy talked to me about this. I so agree with what they're saying. This is powerful right now. God's moving in some hearts.
Absolutely. It's the song was talking about scars.
Yeah, I like that.
So many of us have so many different types of scars.
Yeah, we do.
Whether it's from family or from friends or from a church.
Right.
And it's easy to say, I'm done. You may be turning your back on the church, but God has never turned his back on you.
Right.
And he's always there. And he knows what you're carrying, and he knows what's going on in your life, whether it be relationship-wise with your children, your grandchildren, a friend you've lost contact with, and even your feeling about the church. It's so easy to say, I'm just going to just give up, but he never gives up on us. And
amen.
Our scars can always be healed. All we have to do is ask him and say, I'm sorry, God. I'm sorry, I've turned my back, and I need your help.
Amen.
And he will always, always, with open arms, say, you're my child.
You know, this is very interesting. Interesting what you're feeling, Betty, and what you're feeling, Nan. We're in our eighth year on the radio, and about 4 or 5 years ago, one day, and I'm here almost every single time, and our show kind of took a turn like it is right now, where we were feeling a real prayer need for certain people. And I remember our discussion was very similar to what's happening right now. Probably we weren't using this scripture, but it was, there are some of you out there that have been hurt so much by people. You know, people are not perfect. Pastors are not. I am not. I mean, I'll tell you what. I know, Nan, you think I am, but I am not. And I'm teasing you.
I still think you are a pastor.
No, you don't. No, you don't, Nan. You know you don't. Come on, be truthful.
Yes, ma'am.
And so, but anyway, this particular day, I said something like, there may be some of you out there listening right now that I have hurt, that I didn't want to hurt or didn't mean to hurt or whatever, and I'm so sorry. I got home and I got an email from someone who had left the church a couple years before. That email was full of, I was listening, I'm feeling like I need to be back there. That person is a part of our congregation now. Mm-hmm. And that happened as a result of that kind of a show where we were saying, you know what? None of us are perfect. We don't always do the right thing in each situation. But if you know somebody's heart, like, Nan, I believe you know my heart, mm-hmm. that I want to do exactly what God wants done in every situation, even though sometimes I miss it. You know, that like these guys, they just said, okay, God, we know that you want our friend healed. And I believe all four of them had to be in agreement to carry the stretcher. Mm-hmm. And I think there wasn't one holdout that was going, I don't care if he, you know, lives or dies. I don't think that. I think we had a little team here in this story in Luke 5, and they agreed, we're taking him to Jesus, and he's going to walk out of there. Mm-hmm. And, whoa, Betty, I believe your sensitivity of the Holy Spirit and Nan's is coming at the same time in that song. That is for someone. I don't know if they're listening right now, but if not, maybe they will hear it in the future. But all we can do is reach out. I did respond to that email that night to that person. And it was probably almost a year before they came walking back into the church. But they did come. And that person is one of my closest friends to this day. And, you know, God can heal the wounds. Cindy, you grew up as a preacher's kid. I grew up as a preacher's kid. Nan grew up with her parents in church forever. Betty is the only one of us talking today that didn't. But so often in being a preacher's kid, we've seen the wounds that happen in churches, right? We've seen how misunderstood some people are. And as a preacher's kid, you know, it's hard watching your dad go through stuff. It was for me.
Yeah, it's very hard, especially, you know, because he comes home to talk. And, you know, unfortunately, you know, as a child, you hear a lot of it. And, you know, you automatically see someone who's worshiping God in church and saying, oh, I love God and, you know, bless you and I love you. And, you know, the next minute they're saying stuff bad about your father.
Right.
You know, or they don't like what's happening in the church and they take their toys and run, as I put it.
Sure.
You know, and it's just like it puts a very bad taste in your mouth because, you know, it at age 18, I was done.
Right.
You know, I said, you know, God, I know you're real. Jesus, I know you're real. But how can you allow people to be in your ministry and be so anti-Christ to me?
Right.
You know, it was like, this doesn't make sense to me.
Mm-hmm.
So every time I go into a church, I'd automatically have my wall up and it's like, okay, you're saying welcome, but do you really mean it?
Or, right. Sure.
You know,
sure.
You know, we love our pastor. Do you really mean it? Stuff like that.
Right.
So, you know, and sometimes I had to wake up and one day say, you know what? I miss church.
Right.
I miss God really in my life.
Right.
And, you know, when you find that connection and find someone to talk to in a church or a friend who goes to church or, you know, who is in Christ, when you talk to them, it kind of helps you understand that it's okay to be angry, but it's okay to say, God, forgive me.
Yes.
You know, I'm sorry I turned my back on you. Like I said, you didn't turn your back on me.
Right. Good point, Cindy. Good point. Betty, talk to us.
Well, you know, y'all have been in church, you know, most of your life, and I haven't. But I've been in church administration positions over the years that I've seen pastors crumble because of what someone has said or something was done or something out of spitefulness or out of just sheer contempt.
Mm-hmm.
And people sometimes don't rebound back from being hurt. So when that song says, show him your beautiful scars, is that those are the ones that persevered. Those are the ones that took the hurt, forgot about the past, and forgave.
Amen.
And it's so cool to walk into a congregation, and I'm going to use Beacon of Hope because we're talking with Beacon of Hope members and the pastor, that I've been in a lot of churches, walked in and felt like, oh, you know, what's here? Walked back out and not one person said one word to me. But I knew a couple of people at Beacon of Hope when I went there the first time 2 years ago. I have never felt so loved. I have never felt so alive when I was in that congregation, just for a couple of hours out of, you know, 1 month, that's the way you should feel when you walk into a congregation, because that is the presence of Almighty God.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
And to be able to stand and raise your hands and be able to praise the King of Kings and the
right.
Lord of Lords, and no one looks at you like, what are you doing?
Right, exactly.
No one could ever, and I have been ushered out of a church for raising my hands.
Ooh.
Because they didn't believe in that. And but it says, and I talked to the usher, I said, but do you read the Bible?
We're going to talk about that very thing in our next hour, Betty. I'm glad you brought that up.
Oh, okay. Let's talk about it.
Let's talk about it. Woo!
Talk about it.
All right. Okay. If you just joined us, this is Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries. I'm Pastor Marcia, along with my radio team here, Nan and Cindy and Betty today. And Cindy's her first time joining us today. And it's a big experience here, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Are you okay?
I'm good.
You are good.
I'm fine.
I can tell you are. She's kind of trying us out to see if we fit, you know. But anyway, this is great. And yes, you can contact us very easily. And that is me personally, pastor@bohmglobal.com. my associate pastor, Pastor Jim. His email is PastorJim@BOHMGlobal.com. That kind of makes sense. Mine isn't Pastor Marcia because I had it first. So pastor@bohmglobal.com. Our website is great, and we love our webmaster Maxine in Georgia. www.bohmglobal.com. Go there, navigate around it, and get familiar with everything going on at Beacon. There's a lot going on: nursing home ministry, the radio ministry. There's just a lot to get plugged in, the praise and worship ministry, and just so much going on, and the poem ministry, of course, thanks to Nan, and the prayer ministry. I want to come back to that. prayers@bohmglobal.com. You can send your request 24/7, 365, and one of our prayer captains will get that request sent out, Carol, Pastor Jim, and others, and we'll get that request sent out to the prayer team, which is pretty large. And if you want to be a part of the prayer team, just send an email to prayers@bohmglobal.com. Say, put me on the prayer team. It's that easy. No obligation. You don't even have to come to church with us. You can go to any other church and be a part of the prayer team at Beacon. We have people scattered around different places, don't we, Bet?
Yep. Sure do. What was it we said? From Connersville to China.
There you go. See, Connersville, Indiana, where Betty is right now in Renegade Ranch. That's kind of the beginning of the world right there, Connersville, Indiana. And then it just goes all around to China. Okay, you turkey. Let's do station ID.
WTAN, Clearwater, Tampa Bay. WDCF, Dade City, Tampa Bay. WZHR, Zephyr Hills, Tampa Bay. Listen.
Oh, my. Okay. Well, welcome back to Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope. And we are excited about what we're talking about today. And we're in Luke 5. We're talking about the paraplegic that was actually carried to the rooftop to have an encounter with Jesus as he was teaching in this particular building. His friends lowered him down right in front of Jesus, and we're going to talk more about all of that in a moment. Betty, tell me about your experience with the prayer team at Beacon of Hope. You're a vital part of that. You have been for a long time. You and your daughter Megan and some others in Indiana and different places, and you were a part where I met you. I'll just tell the audience, was that you walked into my church invited by someone. I don't even know who now. Maybe it was Melanie. Was it Melanie? Okay.
Yes, it was.
And you walked into the church in 88 or something like that, 89, I don't know. And you and your little daughter, Megan, and eventually Joe came some, your husband. But you walked in and there was an immediate, like you felt at home, right?
Oh, yes. And that's one of the things that kept me going was the passion, the love that came out of that church, even back in the 80s when,
right,
you know, churches were starting to, I don't want to say disintegrate, but let's say attendance was they were backing off so far as attendance.
Sure.
And that's happening now,
right,
in the church.
Right.
And prayer is going to bring,
yes,
people back into the congregations, because,
amen,
there are still some prayer warriors that are praying for their congregation to grow. And when revival hits, I want to be in a church that is going to be a praying church,
amen,
just like Beacon of Hope is, and,
amen,
being on the prayer chain. Is that I can't say enough of what prayer does in the heavenlies.
And absolutely.
What prayer does to people.
Yeah.
Because prayer has changed my life.
Amen.
And I know that it can change yours.
Absolutely. And, you know, that's what we can do for each other. You know, you may not have an experience in life where you're asked to carry a corner of a stretcher and go up on a building and lower a person down in front of someone. But, you know, you can do that in the spirit, you know, by your times of prayer and your times of intercession. Talk to me about that, Cindy. So often I think that we just go through life and we ignore the needs of everybody around us, you know?
We're so very self-absorbed.
Yes, we are.
It's easier to say, I've got too much on my plate.
Right.
Instead of, you know, there are times you need to step out sometimes a comfort zone.
Right.
Where it's like, well, I don't want to really bother them. Maybe
right.
they want to be bothered.
Yes.
Maybe they want to be interrupted.
Right.
In their crisis or in just their everyday life.
Right.
And it's so hard to say, you know, I got to step out and be out of my comfort zone and say, you know what? I want to be there for you. I want to tell you about my Lord, or I want to have you talk to me.
Right.
You know, and just share and just be a part of people's life.
Right.
And, you know, because sometimes your history or your what you have of your scars could very easily relate to others.
Right.
When they feel like they're the only one that's ever been through that.
Exactly. And, you know, it's all about trading in something. And this is a segue into our next song, which we did this morning at Beacon of Hope, Trading My Sorrows. And we're going to do it on the show today, not us live, but we're going to play this song, Trading My Sorrows, because, you know, back in, you know, a century ago, my ex-grandmother and her husband, Grandpa, they had a grocery in Indiana, in a little tiny town. And they what she always said until she died, she called it trading. I got to go trade. I got to go to town and trade. You know, well, what are you trading? You know, I'm trading my money for flour or sugar, or you know what I'm saying? And that was a term they used back then in the grocery stores. And I love this song because we are admonished to trade in our sorrow, our shame, I love this, our sickness, our pain. Let's do it. Too. We tore it up today, didn't we, Cindy? We sang that song. I love that. It's time to trade our sorrow and our sighing, our sickness, our pain. And this guy that was laid down in front of Jesus, he gets a double whammy here. Because when his friends lower him down, and we are in Luke chapter 5, if you're just joining us, about verse 20, and there he is right down in front of Jesus. Jesus says to him, instead of saying, "You're healed," he says, "Friend, I forgive your sins." That set the religion leaders and scholars and Pharisees buzzing. Who does he think he is? That's blasphemous talk. God and only God can forgive sins. And Jesus was giving them a clue. I mean, the religious leaders say nobody can forgive sins but God. And Jesus is going, duh.
It's like, yeah.
Yeah.
Who do you think I am?
Woo. Why all this whispering, Jesus says? Is it simpler to say, I forgive your sins, or to say, get up and start walking? Yep. Well, just so it's clear that I'm the Son of Man and authorized to do both of them, then he speaks directly to the paraplegic, and he says, get up, take your bedroll, and go home. And the boy says, no, I've been like this for a long time, and I'm so comfortable being paralyzed. I love it. I can't walk. I can't run. I can't play ball, and I love it.
Not.
Not?
Not.
All three of you said not at the same time. Why not?
Who would want to remain in the state?
Some people do.
Well, that's.
Some people do.
Can I read something right there?
Please
this goes
do.
With it. This
you have a poem?
I have a poem.
You do. It's poem day on Living the Good Life.
It came during that song, Trading My Sorrows.
Okay.
And this goes along the line, just to give a preface on this, you know what I mean. There are some people who want to hold on to where they are. They
yes.
don't want to let the stuff go because that's their identity.
Yes.
They like to use things to get people's sympathy.
Yes.
They may even go from church to church till they wear out themselves at one church where everybody knows exactly how they are, and they'll
yeah.
go into another church.
This is they true. We've seen that, haven't we?
Just don't want to give it up. Here's
right.
the poem. Do you want to trade your sorrows for all the things that I have for you? I desire for you to do such. With this choice, what will you do? You may want to hold on to your sorrows, but bring all of them to me. Don't hold on to all of that poison. Of your sorrows, you can be free.
Praise God.
Again, I ask you, do you want to trade in your sorrows so that you can be set free? Bring all of them to my altar. You can do it. Bring them to me.
Oh, my gosh, Nan. The Holy Spirit is writing poems today. Poems. Wow. Betty, talk to me about that. Was that just great or what?
Well, I tell you, you know, when you ask the Holy Spirit to come, you know, into service or into the radio show,
mm-hmm.
he comes in as a gentleman, but I'm telling you what, he's given people insight of what's to come.
Yeah.
And we, as back then, they're like, oh, we don't want to hear that. There's some churches, we don't believe in that. That's just hearsay. That happened back in Acts, or that does.
Right.
People, I'm telling you, we've got to be prepared. And what you're hearing today is just a tip of the iceberg of what the Lord wants to do in each of
mm-hmm.
us. And you may not be a poem writer.
Right.
You might be a children's church worker.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
You might be the lady that serves the dinners at the church dinners or the benevolence dinners.
Mm-hmm.
You may be the person that cleans the commodes at the church.
That's the same person that makes brownies.
Yeah. Yeah. God love him.
You know
I know. What? They do it. They
His
do
name
it
is Sean.
With clean hands.
Amen.
And they do it out of the out
Amen.
Of the kindness of their heart.
Yes.
That's what the Lord has. Each of us has a poipus.
That's you know, right, a poipus.
But you know what? There's poipus. Every one of us has a poipus. And I know that there's people out there that are complacent, that are sitting back and waiting for someone else to do it. Jesus wants you out on the front line.
Amen.
Doing what you do best. Well, I don't know what my calling is. I don't know. Try it.
Right.
Don't be afraid. Step out of the boat.
Yes.
It may be a little wobbly at first. Get into a church that, and there's churches all over this country
right.
that need servants.
Yes. Amen.
Who are willing to do whatever God, what, and I say whatever the Lord wants, and you mm-hmm. know, wants you to do. Don't be afraid.
Amen.
Do not be afraid.
Amen. Cindy, comment on that, because I think this is right on, and wow, this guy didn't just wallow in his illness, did he?
Mm-mm. And that's always an easy thing to do. And, you know, Betty, talking about what you're saying about doing stuff at church, you know, stepping out and saying, okay, I may not be good at praying because I'm not comfortable speaking out, but you know what? I can talk to somebody one-on-one.
Right.
I can spend time, you know, supporting the pastor, as simple as making, you know, working in the office, working in an office, working, which is a special trade as it is, you know, working with, you know, any part of the group. I used to do children's ministry because I am an adult child, and I loved it. You know,
right on, sister.
Yeah. We got that.
You know, I'm very animated. I'm having trouble talking because my hands are just about staying still.
Right.
But you know, it's a wonderful thing to reach out to the children and to the seniors. The nursing home ministry is just seeing the simple smiles that some of them may not have been able to give.
Right.
And just being around people and just serving, and whether it be that one little set time that you sit with someone and say, hey, I care about you. You know, what's going on or anything, or making the brownies or cleaning up after the brownies, which is, you know.
Right.
Our service is to God.
Exactly.
Whatever that looks like, our service needs to be to God.
Ooh, exactly. Betty, talk to me. I think it's so cool that this guy accepts the healing, you know? Number one, we got to accept it. Mm-hmm. You know what God wants to do. And I love what you just said, Cindy, because we've got to realize there is a place for every single person.
Yes.
It says in the Word that the gifts, God's callings and gifts, they make room for you. Okay, so there is a place for you to serve in the body of Christ somewhere. Find a place where you are comfortable, where you belong. This man was comfortable right there at the feet of Jesus. And when Jesus told him, get up, take your bedroll and walk, it says here in my Bible, and I'm in Luke chapter 5, about verse 25 or 26, without a moment's hesitation, he did it. He got up, he took his blanket, he left for home. And here's the point I wanted to get to, giving glory to God all the way. The people rubbed their eyes, incredulous, and then they also gave glory to God. You know, it takes one to start out and just to start giving God glory. Started this morning in service, didn't it? I was pumped. You know I was pumped, Nan.
Oh, yes.
I pumped? And some of you were just sitting there. I just say you in general, not you. But people were just sitting there sometimes, and I was going, come on, let's all practice the word amen. Now let's raise our hands. We all practice raising our hands. Mm-hmm. But this guy, when he jumped up and started praising God, it was contagious. Mm-hmm. Praise is contagious, Betty. Talk to me about it.
Well, you know, praise is contagious. It's almost, sometimes we're imitators.
Right.
And
that's okay.
If you see one person, that's exactly right. It's just like I used to sit in a congregation in Newcastle, Indiana.
Mm-hmm. Great church that was. Cornerstone Ministry.
It was a good church, just like the.
Great pastor, too.
Great, wonderful, spirit-led pastor.
That's right.
All right, now we'll get back on to the subject.
Squirrel.
But I remember that it was almost like, you know, when you're in a basketball stadium or a football stadium and they do the wave.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
The wave is contagious, and that's exactly the way praise is. Because if you see one person doing it, it's like, man, they're having a good time, you know? They're enjoying the game. Well, that's what we do when we go to church, people.
Yeah.
If we go to church to worship and give God all the glory,
Ooh.
And we have a good time doing it. Because in that time that you were saying amen, okay, that's like starting a car, okay? You've got to get the engine going. You've got to get it going. And what better way to say it than through amen? Or praising or raising our hand,
right,
is it gets us going. It gets that energy that we need to praise God.
Woo.
It uplifts us internally to get to that point where you enter the throne of God.
Amen.
And when we praise God, can you imagine what they're doing in heaven?
Oh, they love it. They love it. They have a party.
They are rejoicing. They are praising God, just like when a person gives their life to God. everybody just rejoices. Everybody, you know, the angels, the Lord, God. I mean, everybody is just, I mean, they're having a holy party up there because they're going, yes.
They're partiers in heaven.
There's a huge wave going on in heaven.
Yeah.
Yes, there is. And there's the glory.
Woo!
The glory is going to hit us, people. And you know what? Practice makes perfect. So let's be perfect in our praise and giving God all the glory, because that's who deserves it. That's
Amen.
Where our strength comes from, people.
Yes.
Through our praises to God. That's where our faith becomes stronger. We become stronger. And that makes us stronger to fight the enemy.
Amen. Oh, Cindy, go for it. And I got to tell you a little story. Go ahead.
Well, give something for people to think about. You know, talking about praise, because this is taking me out of my comfort zone as far as raising hands, because I've never been exposed to that. But if you think about it, when you go see your favorite concert,
right?
Whether it be Taylor Swift or Amy Grant or whoever it may be, I mean, think about the crowd. Not everybody's just going to sit there.
No.
And they're going to sit there and, you know, okay, she did a song, a little bit of a clap at the end. Okay, maybe it's like, okay, yep, did good. Just kind of sitting there. Everybody's up, dancing, celebrating.
Yes.
Enjoying the music.
Yes.
What is different about church? Church,
amen.
I mean, when you're worshiping God, who else should you give the praise to even more?
Absolutely.
Than, you know, I mean, you admire, I hate to pick on Taylor Swift, but that's the only name I can think of at this point. You know, she's got a talent, and we're thanking her for her talent. God's got a greater talent.
Oh, yeah.
He's got a greater ministry. He's got a greater following. Why can't we do the same? So today when you helped us, and I'm one of those that kind of sits there, you know, to raise their hands, my arms went up, and, you know, I didn't feel like, okay, this is weird. I was like, okay, I like this.
Yes.
This actually kind of works. And like you said, no one was staring at me.
No.
No one was laughing at me.
No.
You know, would I do it in my past churches? No, because like you, Betty, I would have been probably escorted out. But it feels good because I'm saying thank you so much.
Yes. You're giving the glory. You're raising your hands to God. And so, Betty, you weren't there, so I got to tell you what happened. We had two new guys, beautiful black brothers today. And they were amening me through the sermon. And I got to tell you, Betty, it was a really good sermon. I got to tell you. Anyway, so here we were. And I said something about, come on, guys, let's practice this amen. And I don't know. I was singing through the whole sermon today. It was one of those days. I just couldn't stop singing. And all of a sudden, this guy, this new guy, Raheem is his name, on the back row started singing, amen.
Amen.
Amen. And we everybody's hearing him, and we're going, oh, my gosh.
Mike, get him
a
mic.
And all of a sudden, he belted this out. It was beautiful, his voice. Mm-hmm. And pretty soon, next thing he knew, he had a cordless mic in his hand, and he's up here. And then Sheila had her trumpet, and she had not played it. She brought it, but she hadn't played it. And I said, get your trumpet out, girl. And she started belting it out. We had church, Betty. We had church.
Oh, praise God.
It was wild.
But, you know, since I work, I don't have a very good vocabulary, but that was spontaneous.
It was spontaneous.
That's the way the Holy Spirit works, people.
Yes. Yes.
Is that if you feel a leading, and where I was going with this pastor in Newcastle, is that if she had not pulled me out of my comfort zone to go and pray for people, and I didn't feel comfortable doing it at first. I was...
Oh, she directed you to go pray for somebody? And
yes. Oh, yeah. And I'm just
really?
Down. It's like, guys, you know, I had my head down. It's like, don't look at me. God, don't look at her. She's going to call on me. I know she's doing it. I know what she's going to do. Just as soon as I looked up, you pointed your finger at me and you told me to go pray. But that is how the Holy Spirit works. I didn't feel comfortable doing it at first.
Right.
Because I didn't feel comfortable praying out loud for people. But that's when my spirit language took over.
Right.
And the spirit moved mightily. It's because I took a faith step.
Amen. And you
I didn't want to do it, but when the Holy Spirit says go, the light turns green, you go. And it's just like that man in Luke. is those men, those four men you were talking about,
yeah,
had enough faith to say, we're picking up your bedroll and we're taking you to the great physician.
Right.
We're taking you, because there, I'm sure there were people around there that just did not have the faith or the sense to listen and see what was going on.
Mm-hmm.
And then they ridiculed him.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, we're going to be ridiculed for what we do. But
right.
You know what? It gives God all the glory.
Ooh, amen, Nan.
Well, I was thinking, and to relate it to something personally with me, you know, what they went through, Christ healed them instantaneously, but they went through a process
sure.
to get to that point. You know,
right.
they had to gather together. They came up with the idea. Let's do this. They may have had to convince him of it. They had
right.
to travel however far. We don't know how far they had to travel. They had to travel to get him there. They had
yeah.
to tear off the towel, the whole bit. I relate it to my knee surgery.
Right.
I had knee surgery 6.5 weeks ago. And when I came home from after surgery, it was terrible. It was absolutely terrible. I couldn't sleep on the bed because it was too high. I had to sleep on the couch, which was actually too low.
Right.
And to get up, my roommate had to help me off the couch.
Yeah.
It was terrible.
Yeah.
And then, okay, graduated from that, and then I was able to get in the bed. I figured out a way, as high as it was, I was able to whip into the bed. It was very impressive. Had someone who was actually helping to, not necessarily care for me, but take me to the doctor and stuff like that, because it's my right knee and I couldn't drive, and was really impressed to see how I got up in the bed. Well, from that, I went to the Willie Walker type
right.
of thing, the kind someone loaned me that you can sit on.
Right.
So I could walk, you know, push it and then
sure.
sit, whatever. So I graduated to that, and
right.
I'm still in the process.
Right.
Now I've graduated to the cane.
Right.
So now I've been using the cane. Now I don't necessarily have to use a cane all the time. In the house where it's real familiar territory, I usually don't use it most of the time unless it really starts hurting, and then
sure.
I use it to help relieve, you know. But it's all a process towards that final thing of my knee being okay.
Amen.
And that's the way it is with this man. They went through a process
mm-hmm.
to
point.
Get him there.
Yeah.
And but he was healed because
amen.
They chose to go through the process.
Yes.
And, you know, we need to reach out to the people around us who need uplifting.
Amen.
It doesn't necessarily mean that there's someone who has left the church.
Right.
It may be someone that you see in the congregation every week, and you know they're going through a very difficult
time. Or somebody at work
time.
Or family member. Or,
exactly. Reach out to them.
Listen to this song by Jeremy Camp, Overcome.
Is light in this broken land.
God, worthy of honor and glory and worthy of all our praise. You've overcome. These guys overcame the circumstances and they took their friends straight to Jesus. And then people started praising God and glorifying him. Let's run back to Exodus real quick. Exodus, this story in chapter 17, Pastor Jim actually brought it up in Bible study Wednesday night. And then I have not been able to get it off of my heart all week long. And I talked about it this morning. It's a story about Amalek. And Amalek in Exodus 17, starting with about verse 8, Amalek means warlike, and it means hostile to God. And there's so many things that come at us. It can be disease. It can be depression. It can be anxiety. It can be suicidal thoughts. It can be bitterness and anger and resentment. There's so much stuff that comes at us in the form of Amalek. In this case, it was actually a nation. But it means all that is hostile to God. And so many of us have things in our lives that are just hostile to God. Bad attitudes, bad habits, etc. And they were fighting against Israel. And Moses ordered Joshua, who was next in command under Moses, to select some men and go out and fight Amalek. And you know what? God says that to us today. Fight all that that is hostile to God. Resist all that stuff, those attitudes of complacency, of laziness, those attitudes of unforgiveness, those attitudes of bitterness and resentment. Resist it. Resist like Amalek. Fight against it. Don't get even into it. Don't give it an inch. Anyway, so here they go. And Moses says to Joshua, get your men ready, and tomorrow I'm going to go up on the hill, and I'm going to hold up God's staff. And Joshua obeyed. Number one, that's a great lesson for all of us. When God tells you to do something, obey. Joshua did what Moses ordered him to do to fight Amalek, and Moses, Aaron, and Hur went to the top of the hill. Now, here's the point that is so interesting when we're talking about raising our hands in worship. It turned out that whenever Moses raised his hands, Israel was winning. But whenever he lowered his hands, Amalek was winning. But Moses' hands got tired. And we're going to talk about what happened. So this is a metaphor for us that when we are raising our hands, which, yes, it requires us to humble ourselves before God. It's a little weird for people who are not used to it. But God tells us all through the Psalms to raise your hands. Raise your hands. It's not something that just happened here. It happens all the way through the Word that we are told to raise our hands because it is an act of worship to raise your hands. I like what you said earlier, Cindy, about concerts. You go to the secular concerts and people are raising their hands and, you know, they're clapping and they're having a good time.
That's
right?
Just part of it. The concert wouldn't continue if they weren't.
If they weren't enjoying it, they were all sitting there like bumps on a log.
Yep.
Yet we go to church and we expect that, oh, let's just be real reverent. You know, let's not get excited. I love it when people say, amen, you know, yes, or shout, you know. Mm-hmm. And so what happened was that Moses' arms, his hands got tired, you know. And in the ministry, sometimes our arms get tired. You know, there are times that we are just absolutely fatigued. Wow, Betty, talk to me about this because you know what happened. Tell us what happened next. Are you there?
Well, yeah, I'm here. Joshua won.
Huh?
And Joshua won.
Yes, he won the battle. When Moses' arms got tired, what did Joshua... What happened here? I mean, who was involved here raising his hands because he got so tired that his hands would fall down, but Moses' hands, so they got a stone and they set him on it, and then Aaron and Hur, what did they do?
They held him up.
They held him up.
They held Moses' hands
yes.
up in the air.
Yes.
And that brings us even in today's world, is that...
Yes.
Our pastors get tired.
Yeah.
Yes.
You know, and they stand behind the line of grace. And when one warrior goes down, the other warriors pick up, and that's what they did with Moses, is they took him and they set him on a stone and they held his hands up so that he would not get tired. And people, that's what we have to do in the body of Christ, is bond together with cords that cannot be broken.
Amen.
And stand together and resist the enemy.
Yes.
And he will hightail it and run. But we can't be separated. We have got to join together and do what they did for Moses, is hold their hands up. Hold your pastor's hands up if he's struggling. Pray for the congregation to come back in strength and spirit and in strength. People who want to give of their time and of their tithes and of their monies, offerings and so forth. This is where strength comes, people. It comes from us believing that no matter what the battle is, no matter who we're up against, that if we get tired and we're out on the front lines, and frontline fighters, freedom fighters, do get tired,
mm-hmm.
that we know that there is prayer support in the back of us until we can rest and heal from what we've been up against, maybe in a day, a week, months, or years. But it is time, people, that there is a line of grace that is drawn that we can retreat to and know that we have the prayer support, just like Moses did with Aaron and her, or Joshua and her.
And I totally agree with you. And Betty, I know that you don't know what the next song coming up is, because you're in Indiana. We haven't discussed the music for today. Mm-hmm. And Cindy and Nan, looking at the paper in front of us, know that the next song we're going to do in a few minutes is the song you introduced us to at Beacon a couple years ago, Behind the Line of Grace by Karen Peck and New River. And you didn't know that. And look how the Holy Spirit, you had no clue, no knowledge of that. And look how the Holy Spirit just spoke through you. Grace is God's empowering presence, that when we can't, don't have the strength, don't know how we're going to make it through, don't have any clue how to get the right answers for a test, or don't have any idea how we are going to be able to manage learning the curve in a new job or whatever the case may be. When we don't know how we're going to make it through, God enables us to be strong and do the right thing. And in this story in Exodus 17, someone, we don't know who, got the idea, set Moses on a stone. See, if Moses would have been on the ground, think about it. Aaron and her beside him, they would have had to stoop way over to lift up Moses' hands. So it was a comfort thing, too. Think about it. It must have been a big stone they sat him on. And so they could all just kind of stand there comfortably, and one on each side, hold up his hands, right?
Mm-hmm.
Cool, right?
Well, I was just thinking that, yes, they held up his hands. So they may have got a little bit tired, but they forged on. They forged on because, you know, they weren't having, they just forged on because they knew that's what they were supposed to do.
Right.
And then the victory was won.
Oh, absolutely. And Betty, you understand how to do that because you've done that for me for a number of years now, haven't you?
Yes, ma'am, I have. And it's something that years ago was told, get behind her. And I said, what does that mean? And he did, told me exactly, and I've told you this story before, is I've always got your back, as many people at Beacon of Hope do. But I'm to be either the Joshua or the Hur to hold up your hands and say, you know, you got to keep going. We still got this race to win. And, you know, as we talk, you know, I know when you're tired. And you know when I'm tired. And that's where prayer is the medicine that heals. It's the communication that Jesus has with us.
Amen.
That says, you know, I know when Pastor needs I know when Pastor needs prayer. I know when Nan needs prayer.
And Betty, go ahead.
I still consider it a privilege.
Absolutely. You know, today in our service, there was someone who was in distress, and I could tell it. And I texted that person right after church and asked if there's anything I could do, and that I was praying for that person. Mm-hmm. And this is the text I got back while we were eating lunch, some of us, and I'm going to read it verbatim. The only request I have of you, this person said to me, is that you never give up on the church, that church, our church. Always stay the course. I love you. Mm-hmm. And you know what? There have been many times I've wanted to quit. So many times I can't begin to tell you, because it's hard. And I imagine Moses at this point, when he's having to hold up his hands for victory, is probably thinking, man, I just wish I could just go curl up somewhere under a tree and take a nap. Mm-hmm. But look what these guys did, Cindy. Look what they did.
And this was for a nation.
For a nation.
This was depending upon the victory of a nation.
Yeah.
You know, a little bit more than 100 people in a congregation.
Right.
It was the welfare of a nation.
Right.
And, you know, standing up and being the servant that he was, and then Aaron and her doing the same thing. It's so easy to say, nah, I just don't want to do it. And it takes 10 times more strength to say, we got your back.
Right.
Because we'll be persecuted. You know, we have the tough times too. And it's just like, cannot forget the focus of the glory of God, the family of God, what he wants us to do.
Amen. Woo, Nan.
Sometimes we also need to let the leaders know that we care, like that text that came in to you. I know that, you know, for many, many years, God always has laid on my heart the leaders, my leaders, mm-hmm. you know. Mm-hmm. And, you know, send your leaders a card. Buy something that you know that they need. Cokes.
Yeah.
Something like that, whatever.
Nan sometimes keeps me in Diet Coke.
Praise God. I want to keep it going. But, you know, just things like that, too. You know, while you're praying for them, do little things that way they know. A phone call, a text, an email. You know, there's been times I've gotten a text that helped me to want to keep going on.
Right.
When I didn't want to.
Right.
Or when I was facing a great difficulty. You know, during my knee surgery, it's the recovery has been terrible. I mean, it's gone, but it's been really rough. They say that knee surgery is the roughest to try to recover from. And there was one particular person in the church that kept in contact with me. And I remember that.
Good. Praise
God. I remember that.
Good.
I appreciated it, and I remember that.
Amen.
And the leaders of the church feel that way when you reach out to them.
Right. Absolutely. Praise God. Yes, Betty?
Well, you know, it's like with, we had a storm that we went through, especially my daughter, Megan. And, you know, it was just the little things that people did. It didn't take a lot of money. It mm-hmm. didn't take mm-hmm. something as, you know, buying an extravagant gift.
Right.
But just the word of a brother or sister
yes.
that said, Nan, I'm praying for you, mm-hmm. or Megan, I'm praying for you. Is there anything I can do
right.
to help?
Right.
And that's what we have to do
yes.
as a congregation.
Yeah.
Sorry.
It's okay.
Is that when you feel the urge to pray for someone and you don't know why, do it.
Right.
Don't hesitate.
Yes.
I know we get woke up in the middle of the night and the Lord says you need to pray. I don't go back to sleep anymore
mm-hmm.
because they don't know what's going to happen, if that telephone's going to ring,
right?
And something has happened to a member of my family, or someone is sick, or you get a prayer request, and I have my phone by my bed in case there's a prayer in that comes in early in the morning.
Yeah.
And don't hesitate to pray for someone
Amen.
That the Lord puts on your heart. Well, I'm afraid I can't contact them. Contact them, because they may need you, just like that person that knew that Nan needed some extra prayer support. Nan,
yes.
I've been praying for you. I have interceded for you. I have prayed for Pastor. I mean, I've prayed for a lot of people in that church. There's a lot of people I pray for that I don't even know. And I may never know till I get to heaven.
Right.
But don't hesitate to stop doing what you're doing.
Amen.
Because maybe people don't notice you, but God does.
Amen.
He notices what you're doing.
Amen. Wow.
God.
Woo. Betty, along with that, you know, someone came to mind. I was driving down the road, and someone came to mind who has done some things that I think are wrong.
I know.
And God said to pray.
I know.
And I didn't want to be honest. I didn't want to, because I don't like what has occurred. But yet
no,
God
I
said
know.
Pray. And I just got this softness that came on as I began to pray.
Mm-hmm.
I pushed past Nan. I pushed past what had happened. And I began to pray for
Amen.
That person.
Amen.
I've not been in contact with them, but I still love them.
Amen. Behind the line of grace.
God's children quietly lie in wait while the battle rages on. Rules of this war say that God will always shield his own. And though afraid, danger well in sight, sometimes we're just too tired to try. He tells us to be still and know and wait behind the line. All the soldiers of God's army are behind the line of grace. No matter how the battle goes, the Lord will keep us safe. There's no weapon that can stand against the wall God built in our defense. We may not always see His face, but we're secure behind the line of grace. He will not withdraw His eyes from the righteous night or day. We may not always see Him, but He knows the way we take. Is nowhere in sight. He steps in front of the enemy while we rest behind the line.
All the soldiers of God's army are behind the line of grace. No matter how the battle goes, the Lord will keep us safe. Built in our defense, we may not always.
Behind the Line of Grace, Betty. You and Megan sang that at Beacon of Hope about 2 years ago. First time I ever heard that song, and it's kind of been a mantra, and you didn't even know that it was on the show today. Wow. How does that fit?
Well, I tell you what, you know, the Lord, when he does something, it is perfect. I mean, it's the timing is impeccable.
Oh, yeah.
And I was just, you know, in that, every time I hear that song, as I remember at your old location, you had that blue line drawn.
Yeah, we did.
And I was going through a very hard time in my life at that point. And when I sang that song and I raised my hands, a healing took place.
Yeah.
And when you were talking about raising your hands, is that it's so healing to be able to praise God, whether it be in your car, your prayer closet, or wherever, is to be able to feel the Lord's presence when you raise your hands.
Amen.
And what comes out of your mouth is so can encourage you, but it gives the Lord such a blessing to hear you singing his praise and giving him the glory. Because he is our righteousness. Mm-hmm. He is our salvation.
People. Right. Yeah.
And who else would we want to praise more than the Lord himself?
Amen. Ooh. Wow. Talk to us, Cindy.
I keep thinking there are no accidents.
No, there are.
You know, God has everything happen for a reason. Sometimes we always don't know why. But if we open our eyes, we can easily figure it out.
Well, I got to make this personal about you this morning because you were very ill this morning. And I won't say what was going on, but you walked into church early. Yep. 10 after 9. We have praise team practice at 9:30. You walked in at 10 after 9.
Yep.
Okay? Even though you were ill, woke up ill, you walked in and you said, I'm here because I'm supposed to be here. Mm-hmm. And you said, I'm trusting God that as I step out in faith, I'll start feeling better. And you're feeling better.
I'm fine.
Absolutely fine.
Praise God.
And she wasn't scheduled to be on the radio. She's never been on the radio before.
Nope.
Never.
Nope.
We were just some of us at lunch or right before. You said,
It was
at 9 o'clock.
Yeah.
You said, I'd like to go to radio and listen in.
And at that point, when it came out of my mouth, I thought to myself, what did I just say? Because it's not like anyone has to be invited to come, but it was something that was out of my comfort zone for sure.
Right.
And I was like, okay, I just put that out there. I guess God's saying, if she says yes, I guess you're going. And at lunch, she looks at me, she comes on the radio, right? And that could have been my way out right there. I could have said, well, you know, no, I'll be there. And it's fed me even more continuing on.
Right.
And it's so easy just to, going back to the very beginning, is just turning your faith away from God.
Right.
And to say no. It's hard to say yes.
It is. But look at the reward when you do.
Yep.
And look how you are.
Yep.
You're physically well and whole.
And if anyone's not paying attention to the doctor, they need to. Just saying.
She landed in the hospital about 3 weeks ago during our service.
God talks to you and gives you hints. And sometimes he does 2x4s. Just saying.
Oh, my. But you know what? Praise God. What an amazing show. Betty and Nan, I noticed that. You know, you guys are on the same page in something that is going on the inside of you. I would encourage you to talk together and pray together about the person you are so burdened about, because I can tell both of you are on that same page. And you know what? That's what it takes. It took 4 to carry this guy up to the roof, okay? And so it may take maybe Cindy and I joining you, the two of you, in this burden and this prayer for this person that you're both burdened about. But you know what? Even though paraplegics are really immobilized, when people of God get in the fight and carry them to the roof and open the roof so that they can be let down right in front of Jesus, then something happens. And final thoughts from each of you. We're winding down. I can't believe 2 hours has gone by this quick. It's always the fastest 2 hours of my entire week. And probably I love it so very much. Maybe I love it more than anything else. But talk to us, Nan, and then we'll get back over there to Cindy and Betty. If you can. It's okay.
I'm going to try. No, I'm going to. I'm going to. Satan's been battling me all day. I'm not going to give in now.
All right.
I'm victor. this is a poem. I'm going to. God help me here. This is a poem that I wrote earlier, a few minutes ago. And I'd like to go out on a limb and say if the person is listening, who Betty and I are concerned about, if they are, they know who they are. Listen to this. If not, it's also for other people just to listen to. Take authority right now. You can do it because of me. Move forward in my spirit so that you can be set free. Set free from what holds you. You can overcome what you face. You can do it all, precious child, because of my awesome grace. And that was before the grace song. Praise me even this moment. You will overcome all of this. You will be set free. And of this stuff, you won't miss.
Woo! Praise God. Thank
and
you,
Nan. You know, I just, people just need to move out.
Move
they
out.
They need to move
Step
out.
Step out in faith.
Step out.
Whoa. Cindy, you have a final thought?
It's easy to, as I said, it's easy to say no. When you say yes, think of the rewards that come
Amen.
With it. If you have, if you're listening and you've, you know, you're anti-church, the religious church, the, you know, denominations, know that God is still there. He is in your life. He will accept you back with all the baggage you have, all the scars you have. And it's okay to say, I need to start anew.
Yeah.
Whether you're 28, 38, 58, or 19 like me.
Yeah, okay.
Tell some advice.
I did just not tell the truth. It's okay to say,
right.
I'm back.
Right.
God take me.
Amen. Thank you. Betty?
Thank him for the very things that are troubling you. You're on
Amen.
The brink of rebellion, precariously close to shaking your fist in my face. You are tempted to indulge in just a little complaining about my treatment of you. But once you step over that line, torrents of rage and self-pity can sweep you away. The best protection against this indulgence is thanksgiving. It is impossible to thank me and curse me at the same time. Thanking me for trials will feel awkward and contrite at first. But if you persist, your thankful words, prayer, and faith will eventually make a difference in your heart. Thankfulness awakens you to my presence, which overshadows all your problems. And that is from Jesus calling.
Amen.
Jesus' words to someone today.
Amen. Wow. Okay. It's been a crazy, wonderful show. So led of the Holy Spirit, which is what it's all about. We welcome you if you're in the Tampa Bay area to visit with us at our facility at 21933 U.S. Highway 19 North, basically at the corner of Drew and 19. Go to our website, bohmglobal.com, and find out how to get there. You need to look at the directions. It's a little complicated. And so that website is bohmglobal.com, and we are so glad you've joined us today. All of our shows for the last maybe 3 or 4 years are archived on our website. You can go and listen to this one again tomorrow. It'll be on our website. Then they stay on there until Jesus comes. So we got about 300 and some shows right now. This fall in November, we will hit show number 400. So we're in our 8th year, and we're excited about what God has done on the air all these years. And so it is a joy to be able to share the Word of God with you today, Nan, Cindy. Great job, first timer.
Thank you.
How about that?
I had fun.
And you'll have to do it again. And Betty, we love you up there in Indiana. And I'm going to see you in just a few weeks for the memorial service for your grandson. And looking forward to that time with you and the family. It's not far to Jesus. This has been Pastor Marcia. bringing the Word of God to you with Nan and Cindy and Betty for our radio team, talking to you about God's wonderful love for you. It's not far to Jesus, so just run to Him this day and know that He loves you so very much. See you next time, next Sunday, 3 o'clock, on this radio station. God bless you. Have a great week.
Safely to His side. There's no need for you to fear. You can trust Him with your heart. It's not far. It's not far. It's not far. It's not far. From here to Jesus. It's not far.
WTAN, Clearwater, Tampa Bay. WDCF, Dade City, Tampa Bay. WZHR, Zephyr Hills, Tampa Bay. Listen.